You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're all racing.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Gary Capo, Chris Pimlott and Andy Holding in the studio. We've got, well, hopefully got action from Catterick, but they need to pass a 8am inspection on Tuesday morning. Chelmsford also need to inspect ahead of their meeting. Should get action from Lingfield, hopefully. No Leicester, that has already been abandoned. Looking at what's left of the racing is Sam Turner in the company of myself, Mark Walton. How are you, Sam?
I'm very well, Mark. Are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. Providing this cold snap doesn't bite too hard.
Well, it could well impact on Cheltenham, couldn't we? A bit more of that later. But, you know, if we're going to get 7 to 10 days of Baltic conditions, it could hold up a lot of yards who are looking to get a last, you know, good spin of work into their horses. And mm-hmm. it's also going to be a little bit of a nightmare, really, for Simon Clayson, the clerk of the course at Cheltenham. What does he do? Does he get the covers on now? How's he going to get any moisture into the ground if the covers are on? They're just going to sweat for 7 to 10. There's all sorts of imponderables. So it's going to be a difficult time for one or two people, logistically.
Yeah. Tricky, yeah. Mm. That's going to impact on the racing that's coming up over the next few days. Sam has picked out two races for us. One of them at Lingfield we should see. One at Chelmsford we'll hopefully see. So we'll move on to that later on in the podcast. Funny you should mention Cheltenham. Anyone think it was getting quite close? Because all the talk.
Only talked about it for 6 months. Yeah.
It's about Cheltenham. We're going to look at the Racing Post Monday jury and obviously all of those questions pretty much about the Cheltenham Festival. So we'll get stuck into that, then we'll get Sam's picks for Tuesday. First question, how big a say do you think Radician will have in the JCB Triumph Hurdle? Has shortened quite significantly over the past few days. I think we went around about 8-1, maybe 7-1 on the back of his success at the weekend, then shortened ever since. He's now 9-2 second favourite for the Triumph Hurdle behind Apple Shakira, who's 5-2 at the head of the market.
Well, the question mark with Radician going into Saturday's race was, A, could he do it in what was probably going to be a truer gallop than he'd tackled before. And he ticked that box brilliantly. He jumped a lot slicker and more efficiently, which I thought was another box ticked by him. The only slight concern is he's never really done it on an undulating track.
No.
His best performances on the level came at places like Redcar, nice flat galloping left-handed track. And, you know, whether Cheltenham is going to play to his strengths, obviously it's on the different course where you've got, you know, you only jump sort of one or two hurdles in the last, you know, any number of furlongs. So it's going to be more of a galloping stamina test. And now whether that's going to play to the strengths of Radician or not, who doesn't lack pace, is open to question. There's a good sort of mass of runners sort of looming from across the water, the likes of Stormy Island, Far Class, Mr. Adjudicator. They're all starting to strengthen their causes with good performances going into the festivals. But Radician was nothing but impressive at Kempton. He slammed Malaya. She was reported to need the run going into the race, and Bogost just didn't fire for whatever reason. He's thought to enjoy the ground, but he just looked very one-paced on that surface. So it was Radician's to lose in a lot of respects, but he could have done it no easier. And yeah, he's going to be a player, isn't he?
Mm. Can only beat what they put in front of you and all that.
Absolutely. And he did. He put him behind him.
Yep, he did. He's now 9-2 for the Triumph Hurdle. Second question. What chance do you give Q Card in the Ryanair?
I think it's the best race for him. They took all the headgear off. I was at Ascot when he ran so well behind, waiting patiently in that Ascot chase. And they took all the headgear off him, schooling him in the week leading up to the race, and it really seemed to invigorate him. And he was given an ultra-positive and aggressive ride from Paddy Brennan. Now, it'll be interesting to see whether he can adopt those tactics in a Ryanair, especially if Under So's in the field and one or two others that like to bowl along and get used and get on with it and are ridden pretty aggressively. But if he can peak again, and it is a bit of an if because he put an awful lot into that Ascot chase. You know, the time was brilliant, the circuit time was excellent, and he saw off a number of horses that tried to take him on, the likes of Sperodek, Froden, etc. And he got softened up a little bit by them late on. But it was a stunning performance. I think he's much better in the Ryanair than the Gold Cup.
Yeah, he's 10-1 to win the Ryanair. And we've seen in the past, for whatever reason, the Ryanair favours prominent runners, front runners.
Yep.
And if they do go back to those tactics that they employed first time out this year, it seems to bring him back to life, doesn't it? It gives him that enthusiasm again. Which
yeah, that track is tighter, and that will help him. He hasn't got a particularly good record at Cheltenham. He's got poor completion rate, obviously, with falling twice in two Gold Cups has done much to sort of advance those concerns. But he is just the type of horse that he looks in great form again. The vibes were that he was working extremely well again, and they just look to have got him back. And he hasn't had a hard campaign, so he's going to be a fresher horse than most. And yeah, it's, you know, obviously Fox Norton's out. He's out for the season now with a slight suspensory. So it's really opened the race up for him.
Third question, is impressive Fairy House winner Michuka the answer in the Fred Winter?
That's a tough question, isn't it? 2 weeks before the race. there looks a host of plots in this, as there always is. It often proves more competitive than the Triumph Hurdle, with, you know, certain connections trying to engineer a mark for their horses and sneak them into this off as low a weight as they possibly can. There's, you look down the list of the runners in that, and I mean the favourite Nuba Negra has run really well a couple of times this year and sort of had a penalty kick last time at Doncaster and won with any amount in hand. Act of Valour is a horse that's going to be very well suited by decent ground. Star de Garde is supposed to be the Henderson pick for the race. Lisp was undone by some very soft ground and just conditions that didn't suit him at Haydock, you know, small field. So there's any number of these that have got great opportunities to win a Fred Winter. And Michuka could have done little wrong or could have done little more when winning at Fairy House. But I didn't think he had that much in hand at the line, and they were sort of closing on him hand over fist. Now, you just don't know at what stage Gordon and Elliott had got him to in his fitness. You know, the fact that he's having a run 3 weeks or 2.5 weeks before Cheltenham suggests that he felt he needed to get a good gallop into him. So there could be a huge amount of improvement to come.
He's 14-1 for the Fred Winter, but it is still 10-1 the field there. So that just sums up how open it is at this stage. How significant a performance was it by runaway winner Global Citizen in the Dovecot?
Very significant. I think more for Aintree than possibly Cheltenham. I think he was sort of 7, 8, 9 to 1 for the Imperial Cup. I think that's going to come too soon for him, they say, March the 10th, so he won't run in that. I'm not sure he's going to run in the Supreme either, but he looks absolutely tailor-made for the two-mile novice at Aintree. He looked on fire, didn't he, on Saturday, and he beat some very good horses, Michael's Mount and Mont de l'Avoir, and, you know, the horse of Alan King's run very well in second, the Scarlet Dragon, considering he was first time over hurdles and was a little bit keen and first run back off a wind-up. I think he's still going to go for the Supreme at a big price, but I would be very interested in Global Citizen up at Aintree.
What other performances have caught your eye over the last few days with Cheltenham and Aintree in mind?
Well, Master D for Aintree. I think, you know, flat track, good ground, absolutely perfect for him. Danny Kerwin, the bumper winner. I think he's a beast. I think he's a really, really special horse, and I think those at Ditcheat feel that he is going to be an exceptional talent. Now, whether that's for Cheltenham, which you wouldn't have necessarily thought would be his cup of tea on a tightish track there, and although there's a good stiff run to the line, that bumper race is often won off that home bend when there's loads of scrimmaging. I think Aintree might suit him a little bit better, give him a bit more time in the straight to organise himself. But there were two horses, I thought, from Kempton that were very impressive. I think Redisian, if he didn't win at Cheltenham, I think he'd be a major player back at Aintree. A lot of Alan King's horses, I'm sure he's won that juvenile at Aintree with horses that perhaps disappointed in the Triumph Hurdle or missed the Triumph Hurdle before now. So I wouldn't write Redisian off if he got beat at Cheltenham.
Fair enough. Final question of this week's Monday Jury then is, give us one that is sailing under the radar you like for Cheltenham.
Old Guard.
Make sure you back it before you tell us, because it won't be under the radar.
I haven't backed it, but Old Guard 33s for the Stayers Hurdle. Interesting race in a lot of respects, but he's a good ground horse with plenty of Cheltenham form. He won the Game Spirit at Fontwell over the weekend. He beat Little Rockefeller, who'll be a shorter price than him in the market. I just think he could be overpriced. It's a bit like, you know, one or two horses that have stepped up in trip to win that race before now, obviously Nichols Canyon being one. Just the fact that good ground is perfect for him. He's a good spring horse as well. He's only 7. been around for ages, and obviously we've all seen Old Guard run a number of times, but I think there could be a bit more improvement to come in him. And I was impressed with him at Fontwell. It was sticky old ground, which wouldn't be his bag at all, and I think on a decent surface, if it is that on the Thursday of Cheltenham, 33-1 for him might look a big price. He's a bit like a Celestial Halo type character who ran well in that race for Paul Nicholls before now.
33-1 for Old Guard.
There you go.
It's warming up to be one of the races of the festival, isn't
it? Yeah, belting race, obviously Super Sunday and Sam Spinner. I don't think there'd be a dry eye on the house if Sam Spinner could win this race for Jed O'Keefe, who has had some health problems in the years gone by, and I don't think it's any secret that he was thinking of packing up, and he's managed to continue, you know, training. And as his wife said, you've got to carry on because it'll give you something to live for. And, you know, he's done exceptionally well in turning his yard around, and he's done a brilliant job with Sam Spinner. And it's also been a bit of an act of redemption for Joe Colliver, his rider as well, who's had his troubles too. Mm. So good old Sam Spinner. And something I never managed to do is get one off the straight when I used to bowl a bit of off spin. So hopefully he can knock one or two of these for six.
Yeah, I thought it was named after you. I thought, let's bring Sam Spinner in.
Yeah, well, if I could have got one off the straight, then it would have been, yeah.
There you go. Cricket reference as well to add to it. That's the Monday jury then for another week. We'll move on to Tuesday's action just a moment. Just want to relay a little bit of news that's breaking or that's come out on Monday afternoon at the time of recording this. It's to do with some of the big guns for the festival. Yeah. William Millian saying Altior's now 50-50 to run in the champion chase. Did I say Altior?
Yeah, you said Altior.
No, I did, sorry.
Yeah. Altior's okay.
Duvan's 50-50, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, let me reiterate that. 50-50 chance Duvan will win. Will run. Oh, I've got it all wrong. We'll run in the Queen Mother Champion Chase.
He might well win.
Yeah. Well, it gives us the clash that we want to see, though, doesn't it?
Yeah,
Altior against Duvan could be huge.
Well, and Min. I mean, you've got a strong candidate. They've already got a strong candidate in Min who's no mug. You put Politologue in there as well, and it's boiling up to be a belting little race. And if Duvan makes it, then great. I, for one, certainly wouldn't be relying on that happening. We've heard a lot of sound bites come out of these sort of, you know, 50-50. You know, that covers a multitude of sins, really, doesn't it? It's also, you know, he's 50-50 not to run as well. So
yeah. He might as well just say, he might run, he might not.
He might not. Yeah, exactly. They tell us nothing, do they? Yeah. So let's hope he gets there, fit and well, and there's good, strong vibes behind his chance. And that could be the race of the meeting for me if Altior tackles Min and Duvan.
Mm. Don't forget, we do have non-runner insurance at the Cheltenham Festival here at William Hill as well. So if you back Duvan for the champion chase and he doesn't turn up in that race, doesn't turn up at the Cheltenham Festival, you will get your money back in cash as well. So that will relieve some of the risk with a horse that's had injury problems.
Very much so, yeah. And that, you know, they're very good concessions to take, aren't they? And obviously, as we touched on, Fox Norton's out of that race.
Yeah.
He was generally sort of an 8 to 10 poke in that race. So that's one out if you've bet Altior or Min Antipost.
Mm. Apparently, York Killer, by the way, as well, most likely to go to the champion hurdle at this stage. And Willoughby Court will miss the festival.
Yeah, poison foot.
Yeah, that's an unusual one, isn't it?
Well, he's an uncertain runner. He might not run.
Yeah.
He's not a certainty not to run, is he? But he's got... It has to be a concern 2 weeks before if, you know, horses are missing vital pieces of work, especially in a race like the JLT, which looks like being a complete burn-up. Good heat, that.
Mm. More on that as we get closer to Cheltenham, of course. We'll keep coming back to these markets and such in the next few weeks. But let's concentrate on matters a little closer to hand. We have some racing on the all-weather to look at now and on Tuesday. We're going to start at Linkfield, first race on their card, and then we'll get Sam's thoughts in the last race at Chelmsford City as well. So the 2 o'clock at Linkfield on their poly track is a sprint handicap. It's for runners rated 0-65, and 5 furlongs is the distance.
Yeah, we're talking basement stuff here, aren't we, Mark, unfortunately? But it's where we're at this week. Before the quality, we've just got a little bit of mediocre stuff to get through for a couple of weeks. And Awesome Allen would be my selection here, with Bobby Winston taking over from Catherine Glenister. Decent second last time out, just got mowed down late on and overhauled by a horse that ran on Monday afternoon, was beaten over probably the wrong trip, but didn't run too badly at all. I think the strongly run 5 might well suit him. He might finish his race off a little bit better. And David Evans' horse is just continuing rude health. Another winner Monday afternoon to compound what was an excellent weekend.
Awesome, Alan, for the informed David Evans. And the pick for Sam in that 2 o'clock. And the next race we look at, the final race we look at, is the 4:45 at Chelmsford City. This is over a mile and 5.5 furlongs, this Class 7 handicap, even lower grade here, for horses rated 0-50. What's made you pick this?
I must admit, I can't believe the top two... Are eligible for this. I mean, one's rated 52, one's rated 51. I think they're a little bit better than their ratings would suggest they are. I'm also a bit scared of Torch as well. Jamie Spencer riding for John Butler. That, I wonder whether that's had a campaign which suggests that they're going to have a little bit of a tickle with it one of the days. But anyway, Camford Thompson is the one I'm going for to beat Avocet, who was a good Southern winner the other day. Ollie Murphy does back his horses up quite a lot under penalties, and I don't think they've got an unbelievable record, so it might just be vulnerable Avocet switching in surface. And I thought Camford Thompson was unlucky at Wolverhampton on Saturday night. It was just didn't get the run of the race between the two and the one marker. His rider had to switch out, and he was finishing hand over fist. He was a little bit unfortunate in the run, and hopefully he can make amends today.
Camford Thompson then, yeah, the pick in that will mean knocking on the crossbar, as they say, and putting to go one better than those recent runner-up efforts. Thank you very much, Sam. Been a pleasure as always.
Cheers, Mark. Yeah,
good luck.
Good.
And enjoy it on Tuesday.
Thank you.
There you go. Thoughts of Sam Turner on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio, or what's left of it at least, with Gary Capewell, Chris Pimlott and Andy Holding in the studio. 1:50 the start time for, if all goes to plan, Catterick, Chelmsford and Lingfield. Hopefully still get three meetings going ahead on Tuesday. Do join them for that, and thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.